Sunday, side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Ray Garino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disasters as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Eat, Ray Garino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway side. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Even!
All right. No intro music today on Motormouth Radio because we're doing things very ad hoc. You have tuned in, however you've gotten it, to Long Island's only automotive radio talk show here on this great island of Long with your host, Ray Guarino. Co-host right now is Rob Leonard. Chris Switzer is out in the wings. Joe D is in the wings. We can't connect with anybody because we're at our own UD or undisclosed location today. Because the college is pretty much closed, so you can't get in, and we're just kind of winging it. So
it sounds good to me. Or, you know, this isn't the first time I've helped out. You guys made a better show.
Rob, you have always been there for us in many, many cases, right from the very beginning when Chris was doing the show by himself.
I remember.
And that's what happens.
Hey, I'm the one who got him in here.
Exactly. Yeah. You're responsible.
I'd watch Chris at work because we worked together, and people would just come up to him in the lunchroom. Hey, man, my car's right. I'm like, we got to turn this into a show. And that's what happened. You know, who thinks it's almost 20 years for you? It's 19.
Yeah, we started in 2002.
Oh, two. I'm
sorry. So it's 18. Yeah, we're in the 18th year now, which is pretty amazing. Gone through a lot of different iterations.
But it's still Motormouth Radio, and I think that's the important thing. That the what the idea of Motormouth Radio should be and is still there. It hasn't really – I mean, each one of you brings something different, but it hasn't lost – its sense of humor and its sense of amazement of how cars work.
Well, that's what we've done. We through all the iterations, you know, and just we might as well use this as a time to go. Let's go through the history. Of course, Chris started with Tony Trancilla,
right? Right.
And that lasted only a few months, I believe. And Tony found better things to do. And then Chris was when you were sitting in with him a couple times. Chris was sitting there saying, "Geez, how can I do a radio show alone? This is ridiculous."
It is,
and it is, it is. So he, from work, the way you guys worked, he knew that you guys had Steve Brancatello, who did a show called You Auto Know.
Right.
On public access cable.
No, well, that was Extra Help, which was actually a pretty good channel that Cablevision had at the time, and they since got rid of it, but at the time it was a good idea.
So he brought Bronk in, and Bronk brought a lot of knowledge because he was an auto shop teacher and car guy. And then Bronk, of course, seeing – there seems to be a thread with the show, Rob. People see a crack in the door, and they run through it. So Bronk saw the crack in the door and said, hey, you know, how would you like to have – how about I bring this motorcycle guy on who also does a show, Mikey T, who's very wildly popular. And Chris said, yeah, sure, the more the merrier.
Weren't they on – wasn't Mikey T on Extra?
He was.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and then he and Bronk would walk into each other's show sets.
Right, right, right.
And Bronk, I think, walked in on Mikey in a dress one time. You'd have to know Bronk to appreciate that. But, so then it was Chris, Bronk, and Mike. And then they did the show for a few years. It seemed like it was a lot more. I was a listener to the show.
Right.
And
I always wondered how they found you.
I'm going to tell you right now. They didn't find me. I found them.
Okay.
Like I said, I was a listener, and I called in because they were talking about motorcycles and clothing. And so I called in and to voice my opinion, and they said, listen, it was the end of the show. And they said, you know, we want to continue with this. Call us back next week. I'm like, okay, I did. Then it ended up, a few months later, I had been doing a car show in Merrick in Fireman's Field. I did it for 10 years with two other guys. We were three old cranks. And it was on Father's Day.
Right.
Only show on Father's Day. So Chris and Mike said, hey, wouldn't it be cool as Bronk is retiring now? This is fast forward to 2004. as he's retiring, if we could send him to a car show and have him do a remote, like we're doing a live remote now, but with real stuff. He did it with just a cell phone.
Right, I remember.
And they said, okay, so let's find a car show. Mine was the only one. So they contacted this, one of the other friends I did the show with and said, hey, would you guys like to come in and talk about the show? And is it okay if we send Brock? Yes, it's all fine. So I came down, and one of the other fellows did too. And now here's the crack in the door. So I knew the way the show worked already because I'd been listening. And I knew how loose it was and how there was latitude. And I said, okay, now Brock is leaving. And he was the big mouth anyway, so, you know.
Depends on what Mikey T might be talking
Mikey
about.
Mikey T was also definitely, listen, we're all big mouths. We're not motor mouths for no reason. At the end of the show, you know, everybody sits together and just kind of, everybody's talking and BSing. And I grabbed Chris on the side and I said, hey, listen, would you like me to come back and do a recap on the car show after, you know, it's all over? He says, that'd be great. He goes, we can't do it next week because we have a guest in the studio.
Right.
Come back the week after. Right. 2 weeks later, I'm in the studio. And doing a show with Chris and Mike, I was sitting over in the corner where Bronk used to sit, and apparently I impressed the guys because after the show they said, hey, the seat's open, whenever you want to come back. And, and I said, listen, you know, I said, I'll be back next week.
Sure.
And they said, fine. And I did. So, and then shortly after that,
boom,
they said, how would you like to be the third wheel?
Became the guy.
And that's how I became the guy. And then, yeah, we went a number of years like that, and Mikey T was—he went to pursue his own business interests. He opened his own shop, and he stepped away. So it was just Chris and I.
Right, right.
And that's when we really started working. That's when we were allowed, if you will, to have our chemistry gel. You know, it was the Breaking Bad moment.
It was.
That was when the Breaking Bad moment happened. And then Chris and I kind of, you know, worked that it's a natural
thing.
You
know who's watching Breaking Bad on on the internet is our Kim.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She hasn't watched the whole thing yet. So I want to tell her what's going on and how it ends, but I can't.
Okay.
Episode 10.
Oh, you're getting there,
but
yeah.
But you got another 15 episodes. So.
And then you got to watch Better Call Saul because that's the prequel, which is...
Yeah, well, they're filling in a lot of little things.
Better Call Saul has run almost as long as Breaking Bad did already.
It's going to run 6 years total.
Yeah.
That's what Breaking Bad ran.
So anyway, we had our Breaking Bad moment. We gelled, and we realized that, Rob, you got to do something about that cough. You really should get some medicine.
Man, you know, I said to myself, I really shouldn't go out with that cough.
I know. We get some sanitizer for it.
For the throat.
Yeah, so we said, I lost my train of thought. We were talking.
You guys found your voice.
We gelled.
For 16 years now.
The beauty of it was Chris and I virtually agreed on nothing. If we were talking about cars or house repair or motorcycles or Chris, but no matter what it was, how to buckle your belt, if one of us was A, the other one was Z. One was black,
really?
The other
I never got that impression.
And because we used to fight over everything. We would just, but that's the thing. We fought lovingly, kind of like you would do with a sibling. You know, Chris and I became brothers. We really did.
I throw things at my brother.
Oh, I throw stuff at Chris. I did. I threw stuff at him all the time.
I threw a pen at my brother last week.
I've thrown pens at Chris many times. Many times.
My brother once walked out of the room.
Wow.
He walked out. He put his headphones down and walked out.
I sprayed brake cleaner on Chris in the studio.
That's brake cleaner. Would you? Would you like that done to you? Come on.
No, I wouldn't. But you know what? It's emotional, you know? So we really didn't agree. And as Chris said, being a real, real true radio guy, he said, well, that's good radio because now you don't hear both guys saying the same thing at the same pitch and very droll. We're always up and down and, you know, we used to really mix it up. And then when, you know, Chris had a step away in 2016 and we had transitioned Joe in already, Joe D. He was our eye in the sky. Then he came into the studio. He was in for a few months. And then Chris had a step away. Joe and I took over. And not only that, but I had to learn how to run the board. So it was...
I remember that.
Some major, major transitions.
Is that my phone?
And, you know, now that... Yeah, we're having technological issues today, folks. So bear with us. And you can't call, by the way. There's no phone calling. Yeah, can't. There we go.
Chris.
Chris is having all sorts of trouble.
Hey, Chris, you there?
Yeah, so we...
Okay.
Chris is on the phone. Maybe we'll get him in. Let's see. Kim is the technologically... She's our engineering wizard today, which is...
Can you hear us? Oh, you guys...
Oh, I heard him. I just heard him through the headset for a second. Okay. Talk again, Chris.
Talk again, Chris. Can you hear us? No,
I
can't hear.
Yes, I hear you.
Oh, he hears us a little bit.
I hear you.
I hear him a little
bit. We can't hear him.
Yeah, we can't pot him up anymore. Okay, this is definitely backyard engineering today, folks.
What about now?
Okay, cut him off.
I did?
Yeah.
Oh, well. All right. We'll still try with Skype.
We kind of have.
I accidentally made a children's account. Now I have to give myself, because I just went to test him for birthday.
Oh, right, right.
Down and,
right, right.
What was the odds of under 13? So now I'm trying to, I can't delete the account.
We're not prepared for this right now. We're really not.
Well, yeah, we're on the fly, man.
You know, right. This the COVID-19 hit.
Sean's calling.
The college shut down. You know, so we're basically doing things on a shoestring. And that's just the way it's going to be. More Beverly Hillbillies Motor Mouth Radio. That's kind of where we're at.
No, this is actually pretty good. It's just that we've never done it. We're learning it. I bet you in about 20 minutes we'll have it done.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, I've done a couple live remotes, and we use this stuff. We had actually Chris Scholes was my engineer.
Right.
So he ran all this stuff, and he had it. But we even had trouble with that. We were talking one time at Tobey Beach for about, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes, and everything sounded fine. Kim's phone calls us and says, "Hey, you got dead air." Like, what? Like, you didn't know it.
No.
So we just kind of, we wing it, and that's what we're doing. So we'll talk about some car stuff.
Right.
Yeah, now we're trying to get Chris again.
I was trying to figure out, like, my brother's car just got destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
That's true.
Sorry.
What happened?
I'm going to have to shout out Steve from Revelations. He wants to know where we're broadcasting from.
No,
an undisclosed location.
An exact quote. Where the hell are you broadcasting from?
Right. You tell Mr. Steve K that we're on the radio,
Steve,
and he doesn't have to know.
Yeah. We may or may not be able to play your promo, Steve. I always play Steve's Revelations promo at my three-quarter hour break. Because he cross promotes for us very nicely. It's we have a nice relationship. But
my brother's car, he had a 98 Civic, was hit so hard in a car accident. It was parked on a road in Queens. We found out that it was hit so hard that the car behind it was the car that got hit. And it rammed into my brother's car.
Oh, I see.
And totally destroyed the back end.
Right.
So that's how hard it was hit. Now, we don't know how. Mm. If you're parked on the road and a car is in, like, technically the next lane over, can lean sort of into it. I'm thinking it was a bus. But the bus would have to stop.
It would have to stop.
You know, because it's a bus route where my brother lives right now. But the whole back end was shot.
It was.
The brake line was gone.
Mm.
When he went to move the car, it was only a few feet. The brake line was basically gone. He hit the floor.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing. I was just amazed at how much damage the car had gotten just from being hit the way it was.
If you think of it, the car behind it was hit in the back and the front.
Right, right. It was a Volvo. We know that. And Volvos are supposed to be like tanks.
Well, they are. They're built well, but they can still get crushed. Boy, that's a. You got a buzz feedback through your headphones?
Yeah, I do too.
I got a story that's. It may interest you, Rob. This comes up a lot. We talked about one of the family cars we have is a little older. It's an 02, and it had a check engine light. It was a 721 code. It was basically a pre-CAT emissions efficiency code. It wouldn't pass inspection because the check engine light.
Right, right.
I've been fighting with it for a few years. It went away. It came back. This year, I decided I was looking at the parameters and looking at the graph with the scanner, and it just didn't look like totally damnable to me. So what I did
check
was...
Check 1, 2, check 1, 2. Hello, 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 hello.
Oh, I hear Chris again. Hey, Chris.
Hello, hello. Hey.
Do you hear us?
I hear you.
What about me?
I hear Robbie just as well.
That's wow.
There we are.
Wow.
Wow, you sound like you're underwater, but at least you're there.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm on the phone. That's why.
Oh, okay. Congratulations.
I am the caller.
Hey, caller.
Hey, caller. How you doing?
I was just Chris, I was just telling Rob about the issue with the Protégé that I didn't get to tell you about yet. I kept getting a check engine light with an emissions code for the CAT, and I thought I had to put a CAT and a O2 sensor in it, and I was trying not to. So this year what I did, since the parameter was very close, I looked at it in mode 6, which is diagnostic mode you look at for emission stuff. I used the mechanic in a can called Guaranteed to Pass. There's one.
Oh, really? That's what it's called?
There's
really?
One called Guaranteed wow. to Pass and another one called Cat a Clean. You know, Keller.
Oh,
so I said, give me my Mo, give me that one. And I put it in the car, and literally I drove from Oceanside to Joe's house, parked the car, went inside, hung out for a while, came out, left, and saw the check engine light was out. I'm like, yeah! The next day.
What?
Next day, go to the station, have the car inspected. There you go. It does.
You're kidding.
So it did work for me this time, but it doesn't mean it's going to work all the time. So
right. I can't believe a mechanic in a can actually endorsing. I find that hysterical. That's great.
Yeah, you know, I'm really not endorsing. I'm just saying it worked for me this time. It may not work the next time. It may not work for you this time, you know.
Right. Yeah.
But, we've talked about that stuff for years, and people have asked us about it, and we always said, look, we don't know. We don't use it. And this time, but I got to say, the first time I used it, you know, it works. So it's a 1-0.
Amazing. I am impressed. Just by the name alone, I would have doubts.
I think, well, how do they sell that stuff? I mean, obviously, they have to have some sort of claim for it to work. I mean, you know, I can understand why they do it. You know, they want to make some money. But, you know, you guys doubt this type of stuff.
We do.
For many things.
Yes.
So, I mean.
Very much so.
Well, yeah. I'll tell you this. The I would guess. I don't know. I didn't do the lineage. I would imagine the Cataclean was released first. And then the other company said, hey, we gotta get something on the market with a name that's going to people will grab before they grab the other one. So how about Guaranteed to Pass? You know, it's like, yeah. You know?
I remember using some – I had a problem with one of the Subarus mm-hmm. where the what's the problem with the boxer engine? Oh,
the head gasket leak?
Yes.
Right.
The head gasket leak. So I used some – I didn't use the typical blue solder seal, whatever it was. I used
Blue Devil.
One. Oh, right, Blue Devil. I didn't use that one. I used one
Mark
that
Russo's
was.
Favorite.
Yeah, I know. And I tried it once on the other one. It didn't work.
Yeah.
And I tried a different one on the green one. I had another Subaru that I kept for a very short period of time. And I used it, and it was like guaranteed to work. Everything up and down and sideways. The product was perfect and nothing can stop it. I used it. It didn't work.
Right.
I was so annoyed. I called the company and
wow.
I spoke to the president.
Wow.
And I said, he's like, I'll send you your money back. I says, I don't want my money back. I want the product, your product to work. I want to believe you.
Yeah.
He sent me two more bottles.
Wow.
I used it. And guess what? Well, it didn't work.
Still didn't work. All right. Well, there you go. That's 0-3.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm trying to remember what the name was, because I would say it if I remember the name.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I can't remember the name.
Well, the funny thing is that you actually talked to the president. How many people work below him that you got at the president?
Yeah, I actually got to the president. It didn't take long. It didn't take long. Like, I spoke to, like, one gatekeeper, and he says, you want to talk to the president of the company? I'm like, you bet I do.
Sure, why not?
Right, exactly.
But the thing... Yeah. But there's so much in the can that, you know, sometimes it cleans it out for a little while.
Well, this is what we've talked about. Chris, remember years ago we did a thing. There was a thread going around about using acetone in your gas tank.
Right.
To clean.
What's acetone?
Acetone you could buy it at Ace Hardware. It's just, you can clean paintbrushes in it.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's a cleaner. You don't want to drink it.
It's like a
turpentine.
Paint thinner.
Same idea, same family. So I did. I used my Fiat as a rolling test bed that year.
Wow.
And I put acetone in the gas tank every time I filled the car. Because there were claims about a gas mileage, and I didn't see any change that I could quantify in anything. So I said,
but you had to replace every single rubber hose.
Right. And you know what? I could have then upped the amount and put more in, but I didn't. You know, so I said, okay, to hell with this. You know, bah.
Now, what about the rubbing alcohol stuff, as I call it? What is that?
There's rubbing alcohol, isopropyl alcohol.
No, what's the one that they sell in the weird bottle that you have to like get the dime to take off the cap?
I don't know.
The weird cap that takes forever to get off.
I've never used that one.
It's called Grey Goose.
Grey Goose. Now you just pull the cork out. I don't know. Well, you know what? I found out that Doc Jeffrio had called us, Joe's buddy that he worked with at Standard Motors years ago. He called within the last year and told us he's working on a couple of cars he pulled out of somewhere that had cat codes, and he made his own version of Cataclean and or Guaranteed to Pass. And he ran down the recipe on the phone, you know, kind of quick. But one of the things in that recipe was acetone. And he said, this is what they put in there. He goes, so I just did the same thing. And he right. said, you know, he had good results. So, you know, I guess there is some bona fide, you know, reasonability to their claims. You know, but you know, if the cat is totally shot and totally mechanically collapsed or totally coated, it's not going to, you know, it's like your teeth. You know, even if you have scale and plaque on your teeth, they can mechanically clean them at the dentist's office. But if they're so far gone, they're taking them out. You know, it's like, forget it, buddy. You know, you're now a hillbilly. So at some point, you may just have to change that cat.
But, right.
You know, so I got lucky.
I had my Concorde, and I wish there was a way to figure out the tranny problem. You know, it bothered me tremendously that I gave up. I love that car.
That was a good car.
It was a nice car.
Yeah.
And it was in good shape, too. That's the other part. But, hey, you know what? When my brother... When his car was destroyed, we cleaned it out, and man, there was a leak somewhere in the trunk.
Oh yeah, you said that, right?
And it was just like this mildew. I said to my brother, Timmy, no one's going to buy this. No one would have bought this car, right, even if it wasn't an accident. It just the trunk is so, I don't know, man. It was just, he had a, and oh, I got a question for you guys. How long does antifreeze last for?
Like my brother in the car or in a bottle?
Well, my brother had it in bottle, you know, in his trunk, and he gave me all his old antifreeze. I'm just wondering, is this worth saving, or should I? If I went to the town of Oyster Bay drop off yesterday to get rid of my fluids,
you know,
or town of Hempstead.
Chris, this sounds like the can of transmission fluid that Rob gave me. You remember that?
When did I give you a transmission fluid?
You gave me a couple of cans of this ancient transmission fluid. You got it out of some garage somewhere. I have pictures of it. I have pictures at home.
What?
Yeah.
I don't remember. Where would I get that?
Do you remember that, Chris? Because you actually handed them off to me. I think we probably lost Chris.
I think we did lose
Chris. I think we lost them. Yeah, it was some old... It was like a... If I remember, it was a blue and silver can.
No, that was... That was the...
Now I can hear you.
Okay.
Now we got you.
That was when I had a can of... it was Texaco transmission fluid. It was a big...
Transmission fluid.
From 1963. It was a can. No. It was like a half-gallon can.
No, this
can.
Was a
can.
Chris, you remember when Rob had given me those old... That transmission fluid?
But I kept the can. What are you talking about?
No.
Yeah, I have the can. I have the can at home.
Rob had given me a quart can, correct? Do you remember that?
Yeah, sure. I remember that.
Okay. Rob is remembering it differently. I have pictures of it on my computer home. I'll send it to you later.
I don't remember it at all.
Because I set it on the rock at my house, and I took pictures of it and said, only Rob could give us... I think we put it on our website and said, only Rob would give you a gift like this. It was like, you know, 50-year-old transmission.
But how long does antifreeze last? I mean,
a long time.
So it doesn't break down or anything?
No, it's fine. No, because it's in a sealed container.
It's not in a sealed container. I mean, it was used. You know, it's like a half a bottle.
Okay. Still, it doesn't, you know, like the fear with something like that is like brake fluid. When you open the bottle, brake fluid is hydroscopic, meaning it absorbs moisture.
Right.
Antifreeze doesn't. Antifreeze is half, you know, has water in it anyway. So, yeah, you're fine.
Because I was thinking of just getting rid of it anyway. I don't know. You know, I don't know. Just
like, no, don't give me the antifreeze.
Hey, bring it in. Yeah. I'll take it. I'll use it in one of the cars. We'll use it all the time.
I have it outside.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll give it to you. When I got rid of the old thing, when I had that... Well, I know I showed you the can, the Texaco can, and it was in my garage for, like, literally since I can remember. So it goes back to, like, 1968.
Okay.
And I guess they sold it in legitimate metal cans at the time.
Yeah.
And I finally brought it to a place, and they dumped it in there, and it was, like, blue. It was blue.
Oh, wow.
Blue antifreeze.
I'll send you the picture later of the can that you had given me. Yeah. And it was in a paper bag. It was like,
really?
What the heck? Yeah, and I know it was a quart, but that. I'll send you the picture later.
I don't remember that.
I have it.
Yeah, that was that. I remember putting that up on the website.
Yes. That was. Mm-hmm. And that website would
I'm surprised you guys didn't have me pose with it.
No, well, we probably tried, but you didn't want to. So, you know what? Good old Macro Man Brian says that most types is 5 years for antifreeze. I guess is a 5 year. Okay. But I think I've used it. Yeah, I've used it around that length. I don't know.
But I'll tell you, the Chrysler that I have in the garage now, the 69, I've been using every single old fluid container, whether it's 10W-40 motor oil or power steering fluid or old green antifreeze. I've been using all of that stuff that I've been carting around for the last 20 years. I've been using it in that car.
Wow.
With the exception of brake fluid, right? Because the brake fluid is new. But the oil in that car, I think is probably at least 15 years old.
You know, it's good to have a rolling test bed, and like in my mm-hmm. house, that's my Fiat. If I have old gas that was left over from that, dump it into the Fiat. You know, right. If I had a can on, I'd put the oil. And you know what? The car just ingests everything and just keeps on going without an issue.
Well, what do you do with the carburetor? I mean, do you have to clean the carburetor at all? I mean, like, what do you do? Like, because you send old gas through a carburetor, you know you can foul something out.
Yeah, now I wouldn't put in dead, flat, varnishy gas in the car. I wouldn't do that. But I'm just saying gas that was, like, maybe from last season that still smells like gas. You know, I'll throw that in a carbureted car instead of a fuel-injected car just for the injectors and the fuel pump's sake. But,
I pulled gasoline out of the Chrysler that it smelled like a furniture store, an old antique furniture store.
Yeah,
it was awful.
You know, I'm going through that now. My friend Dan, my sister, when she was in Colorado, this is going back. Well, she was there in the early 70s. She bought a 69 Mercury Montego convertible.
Ooh,
yeah, nice car, and drove it back here. Drove it back to when she moved back to Long Island back in the 80s. So it ends up through a course of things. My friend Dan bought the car. And he did a nice little restoration on it, not a Concourse, but a nice street restoration, and then sold it to his brother. And now, just this year, he got the car back, and it had sat for like 10 years and not been used. And he was saying, now, of course, the fuel system is same thing like what my Challenger was. He said he pumped the gas out of the tank and it looked like wishbone salad dressing. It was just
exactly.
So he's trying to get the car back running, and I volunteered. Me and Honda John volunteered to go over there and help him with this.
Oh boy!
Because there's a procedure, you know. You want to get all. I found with the Challenger, the more I just kept pumping it out, and nothing worked right until I took the tank out and sent it out to be boiled and coated, and you just got to bite the bullet and do that. Gas is nasty stuff. Yeah.
You know, one of the things about The Walking Dead that always bothered me, they'd be driving cars or boats or not boats, but motorcycles, and it's like 3 years after the apocalypse, and, you know, all the gasoline works.
Wow.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, I remember that.
Christian sent along a picture of a can of Prestone antifreeze coolant from the dark ages.
I remember that one. That was also in my garage for about 100 years.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, I don't know why it was there. My father didn't know how to change a spark plug. And, God, he wouldn't know anything about antifreeze. And he never, you know, for some reason it just stayed there. Someone put it there, but I don't think it was my father.
No, because guys, Rob, are you on a weekend?
No, my dad never been in an auto store.
Yeah, I grew up, we had a guy next door to us who was a banker, and he was the least, I have a picture of him with his hands greasy, and he'd look at me like, what are you taking a picture for? I said, because I never see you with your hands dirty. But even he would be out there on a weekend and open the hood and just like, you know, he wasn't checking the brakes or pulling the wheels, but he'd check the oil, check the transmission fluid.
My dad didn't
know
how to do that.
And, you know,
when my dad, we got kind of flat once, and he had to change a tire, it's the only time I ever saw him do anything.
Yeah.
And he was flipping out. He was flipping. That's all I remember. He flipped out the entire time.
Yeah.
And I thought we had a Vista Cruiser at the time.
Oh, nice.
And we all had to get out of the car. We had to empty the car out because we were traveling. It was beautiful.
See, I was doing that stuff when I was 5.
Yeah, exactly. I know
that. Yeah, oh, no, totally. I remember changing a tire with my dad. And I had to be about 5 years old, and it was the old-style bumper jack on the 63 Caddy, and we hooked the bottom of the bumper and put the fan down and put the tree in, and jacked, started jacking it up. And I said, Dad, I'll do it. And I was using the crowbar and jacking it up, and I was so light, and the car was so heavy. I literally remember hanging on the crowbar. I was so small and just hanging on the crowbar like for dear life. I couldn't get it to push down any more than like my 40 pounds would push it.
Right.
And he laughed. The old man laughed and just moved it, you know, like it was nothing, and jacked the car up. And I remember that. I remember working with my dad at 5 years old on the car. Yeah. He was the greatest. That's
cool, because the closest I came was we went down to see my cousins in Maryland, and we're stopped at the Maryland house on 95.
Whoa.
And I'm smelling burning oil. And I'm like, why am I smelling burning oil? So my dad had just had the oil changed. He had the tune-up before we went, which was a good thing to do. And so I opened the hood, and I see all the smoke. I'm like, what the hell's going on? The guys at the garage forgot to put the oil cap on.
Sure.
And fortunately, the cap was right next to where it was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like in the front and it didn't fall through or anything.
Right.
So I just went and put it back on and made sure there was some oil in. But that was something my father wouldn't have known.
You know, back in the day,
but I knew that.
Up through the early to mid-60s, before the advent of PCV valves, cars had what was called a road draft tube. It was literally a tube that came off the back of the head of the block that went down, just down into the air stream.
Right.
And the air going over it would pull the smoke and the blow-by out of the engine
and just
let it draft out into the atmosphere.
Oh, wow.
And then they come up with PCV valves that would recirculate. So.
Well, this was weird because, you know, like, why am I – let's put it this way. If he hadn't filled it up, we probably might have had a worse problem because more oil would have burned off and it would have been less and less. And, mm-hmm. and fortunately, we always stop at the Maryland house where there's now another place they just built on – around there too. Yeah, you need a good stopping place on the way on the 95.
Yeah, you do.
Certainly not the Maryland house, that's for sure.
hey, we like the Maryland house.
Oh no, I've walked into the Maryland house one time starving, and I looked around
and left starving?
No, I looked around and everything that was edible was gray. I remember that. Everything was gray. The hamburgers were gray. The hot dogs were gray. Everything was gray. I was like, I'm not eating anything.
Well,
I left there starving.
Just like Mama's Home Cooking, huh?
They've changed. The Maryland house has been updated, and then there's one that's right before it that's even better now. And I just read that the New Jersey Turnpike, they're redoing all of the stops. They were talking. You know what got me was they wanted to make it seem like you'd go to dinner there instead of like just getting there for like a hamburger. Like you would sit down and spend an hour, you know, with your family eating dinner at the New Jersey Turnpike stop. That's the part that got me. I'm like, you know, but you know what? The food's so expensive there. You know, it's.
I tell you, those stops have become so much nicer than they were back when we were kids.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh my.
This Starbucks. Yeah. I just want a regular cup of coffee. No, I have to get Starbucks. Like, I don't want Starbucks. I want regular coffee.
Right.
It's like, no, pay. You will pay us now. $8. Get the hell out of here.
Yeah, well, or like a giant soda is like $5 now.
I mean,
it's not really worth it. Do you want to take a break? We have to take a break.
Let's take a quick break.
Okay, we're going to take a break.
We're going to feed
right
the
now.
Dog and the cat, I think.
Yes. There. Anyway, you're listening to Motor Mouth Radio right here on 90.3 WHPC. Hold on. Let me snap on here. Boom.
Okay. Yo.
Tell your friends about the NASA Morning Madhouse. Hear what you're missing.
Check it out.
A British company is working like crazy to try and find a vaccine for the coronavirus. They're looking for volunteers to intentionally infect themselves for $4,550. You might get the coronavirus for free. Well, why not get paid for it?
That's what you're saying.
True.
Yeah.
I'm doing it.
Let's go to London. I always wanted to go to London.
Yeah.
But that's
the only thing that's selling me, because I wanted to ride that big Ferris wheel.
That's the thing that's selling you?
Of course.
Would you pay to have the coronavirus right now?
Will you pay?
I would love to have the virus. Right now.
But wait, there's more. If you call them within the next 2 minutes, we'll send you another one free.
Measles, smallpox,
and Ebola, Zika. Who needs a flex tape when you got a virus?
The NASA Morning Madhouse. Weekday mornings from 7 to 9.
Yeah.
On the voice of NASA Community College,
90.3 WHPC.
Frank Sinatra.
Bing Crosby.
Ella Fitzgerald.
Dean Martin.
Hey guys, what are you doing?
We're making a list of artists you don't hear on the radio anymore.
Wait, I know where you can hear all of them and more.
Where?
Right here on Standard Serenade. Join me, Glenn DeMille, for 2 hours of great songs by the great stars. Saturday afternoon at 5 on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 5 for 2 hours of Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities, an occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 5. On Revelations, right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Got whatever the show is called, Motormouth Radio, right here. The voice of Nassau Community College.
If you could only see Rob spinning that half-inch breaker bar right now, just like our ZZ Top friends.
I would love that.
It's fuzzy, too, which is really cool.
I think if I hit this button, does it work? Oh, yeah, look at that. Look at that.
Which button was that, Rob?
Yeah, it's right there. Okay, cool.
Oh, that was here?
Yeah, that one right there. Nice. I never did that before. Anyway, Chris, you there still?
I like we lost him again.
Is Chris, you there? Or is it that one?
Oh.
7-8?
Hello.
Oh, there
Sounds
he is.
Like
there he is.
Hi.
Okay.
I'm here. I'm here.
We're still learning.
I'm listening to you host the show, Rob. You sound really good.
I learned from you guys, which is saying a lot.
Yeah, I was just going to say it's not saying much.
Well, you know. So for those who don't know, Chris sent the picture of the can that's on the website that I gave them years ago.
That was Christian.
Oh, Christian.
That sent that. I'm going to send you that picture later because I have it at home
my
computer.
Oh, okay. I thought that was it.
No. I will send you that
because I had that Prestone for a while.
Right.
That can, you know.
So. Christian is also the purveyor of old crap. I mean, if you know, you think we got old junk, he's got
I have. Like an 8-track player at home. I have a mini disc player at home. I have a couple of DAT machines.
None of those.
I got a couple of turntables.
Got those.
I got.
You have reel to reels.
I have several reel to reels. None of them work, unfortunately. I have to get one of them fixed. What else is there? What other formats were there? That's about it.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I don't have digital compact cassettes.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I have regular cassettes, but not digital compact. They came around the same time as the DAT.
Yeah.
I don't, you know. Yeah. You know, but the DAT was supposed to be a big deal.
I have some chrome.
And mini discs, too.
Yeah, those I have. They went to the mini theater, though. The mini cinema, sorry, yeah.
You know, if you go in there still, from what I've read, they really haven't changed the inside.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's a place of God.
It's a tabernacle place.
It's a tabernacle place on
it's on Jerusalem Avenue. In Uniondale, right.
But supposedly the inside is...
Oh, cool.
From what I've heard. I mean, I don't know.
Nice.
Yeah. Someone posted a picture.
Let me tell you another car story. This is something that's kind of a warning to people. Again, on that same car with the catalytic converter, that's our protege. I told you last week, I think, Chris, that my wife was using the car, and I looked out, and the car had the rear tire was flat. You know?
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
Right.
Sure.
So during the week, I decided, okay, it's a nice day. I pulled it up by the driveway, drag out the floor jack, take the wheel off. And I knew, you know, I have a blow molded case of sockets that are just for wheels. They'll protect the lug nuts. And that car uses a 21-millimeter socket. So, okay, take the 21, put the lock on. I always undo the lock first with a breaker bar. Great. Put the socket on the lug nut, and it didn't fit. It was too big. I was like, what? What the heck is going on? I'm like, hey. And then I remembered what happened. When I switched from the aluminum wheels on that car, I took those off because they were leaking air, and I put steel wheels on the car.
Okay.
At the Englishtown swap meet, I went to the lug nut guy and bought a set of chrome lug nuts for the car.
Okay.
New lug nuts. that are 19 millimeters, not 20.
Whoa.
So now I said, wow, okay, no problem. I went in and got a 19 millimeter socket. But I realized, like, if I was ever stuck on a road, or if one of my daughters or wife was driving, well, my wife wouldn't change the flat, and someone had to change a flat, they would have only the lug wrench that's in the car, which is a 21.
Right.
They
right.
wouldn't have that 19 millimeter. So now I bet, and luckily we haven't had a flat on the road. Right. So I had a, I was going to scrounge up another 19 millimeter socket and a breaker bar. Then I thought, wait a minute. When my daughter's Stratus got totaled, one of the things I saved out of the car was the scissor jack and the kit.
Right.
The tool kit.
Right.
So I, went to the, I went into the shed. I grabbed it. I said, what are the chances of this being the right size? Well, you know what? It was 19 millimeter. So I was able to put that like the L-shaped wrench in the Protege, and now there's two of them. One is 19 and one is 21.
That is awesome.
But it's just, you know, luckily I found that in front of the house, and we didn't find that on 84 in the rain.
Right, right. I got a question for both of you guys. You guys have dealt with a lot of cars over the years. Have you ever taken things, like I, what I was going to do with my brother's car after it got hit, I found out that he has the same wheel size as I do. We're both a Honda Civics. He's right. a 98. I'm a 2002.
That's because you're related.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, my friend. I hate to say this. You needed a brother to kick your butt. Anyway.
He's got us.
Yeah, he's got us. Have you guys ever taken, like, one time I took out of an old car, it was my brother's, the jack.
Yes.
Because I didn't like the way the guy bought the car off me. I was going to switch out the port-a-tire and switch it with one of his tires.
A full-size spare.
Yeah, and then I said, well, I don't know. Because I thought I was going to sell it to your friend. I didn't want to look like I was being cheap. But have you guys ever done that before, where you sort of take something just to mess with their heads?
Well,
or to keep it, because if you're junking it, it doesn't matter.
I've taken stuff to use like that. I didn't need that jack and kit,
right.
But I figured, hey, you know what? I'm a hoarder, so maybe one day I'll need it, and it ends up that I needed it. So
exactly. No, I agree. I would take it out of the car if the car. Well, if the car wasn't going to another owner.
Right. Right.
Well, I would certainly. You know, I'll take radio knobs. I'll take shift knobs. I'll take.
I was going to take the radio out of the car because it was a pretty good radio. The speaker, one of the speakers was cutting out, but the radio itself was pretty good. And then, you know, I occasionally will go to, like, a thrift store, and I see, like, car radios there. And I'm like, who takes a car radio out? And then I said to myself, I almost did it. People like me.
Right. And us. Oh, yeah, we're not above that. Come on.
So, yeah, but, well, yeah, you know, I guess you got to be careful what you strip out if you're selling it to someone else.
Absolutely.
If you're junking it, it's obviously, you know, doesn't really matter.
Absolutely.
And it's funny because how many junkyards are there? Still a lot of junkyards around?
There are some. Well, there's some. No. Not many.
No, not many at all.
No.
Because when I got rid of the Concorde, one of the things, one of the guys who I was calling, he goes, there's not a lot of places that strip down these cars anymore.
No.
Because too many people just go get a new car.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with a lot of the, mechanics of a car, especially a newer car with the computers and stuff, you can't replace that stuff.
Well, you can scout. I mean, I know people have bought computers and modules from a junkyard, and, you know, it's an electrical component, so it's like, listen, you know, buyer beware, it may or may not work.
Right.
And some guys are liberal with it. Some are like, listen, if it doesn't work, you know, come back. And some are like, hey, once you take it, it's yours. So, you know, but a lot of stuff isn't available, like a seat module or a body control module. Besides buying a new one, there is no, well, that I've seen, there isn't an aftermarket replacement. I have always said that's one of the things. There's going to be an upshoot in rebuilders who rebuild the modules. And it's huge because cars have, you know, sometimes 60, 70 of them in there.
Right. It's the truth. That's going to be a new and upcoming business. I think it will. I mean, it's going to be to rebuild those modules. Can you imagine trying to find any module for, let's say, I don't know, an early 90s Lincoln, what was it, the LSCs, those things with the adjustable ride height and all that stuff? That was all module driven.
Yes.
And if one of those modules go bad, car is junk at that point. I mean, you need someone to rebuild those things or someone to know which swaps with what will work with what car. So you need to know all that stuff. And now I think it's more prevalent than ever.
That's why we go and we talk to Joe.
Exactly.
And I was just talking to Joe. I spent some time with Joe yesterday. I was over at the house. And we were talking about stuff like that. And, you know, it's time will tell. We'll see what kind of cottage markets, you know, what picks mm-hmm. up.
But, very, very true. It is the truth. The electronics is, I mean, more prevalent than ever. Joe obviously will jump up and down touting that. And it's so funny when you come back to, like you say, junkyards, like Robbie was asking about junkyards. When I had the TR6 for 20 years, it was easy. You found parts on eBay or you went to Moss Motors and called them up and the part showed up in on your stoop. Or on your porch or in front of your door. Now I have the Chrysler, and I have to reinvent and go back to those times back in the 80s when I used to drive to the junkyard that was in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Now you don't have that anymore because junkyards aren't in neighborhoods.
Because I've noticed that two junkyards that I know of that I bought tires or wheels at, aren't mm-hmm. there anymore.
Which ones were
there? Well, one was near in Bethpage where okay. Chris and I used to work. And then, there was one near the Sunrise Mall, which is...
Yes.
That was there for a long time.
I knew that guy.
I forgot the name of the place.
I did too. I'm blanking out. It was right across the street. I used to
literally
go there.
Right across there.
It was a pretty good yard. He was a good guy too.
It's the funny thing is, though, when they cleared it out, you realize how small...
Yeah,
that piece of property was, and how effective he used all the corners of the place. Which I look at it like he used to be a junkyard there. I literally say that every time I pass by.
Right,
and it's I don't know, it's like 100 feet or something. It's amazing.
And of course, our friend Vic that calls the show used to own a junkyard in Bayshore. So, and if you know Vic, you know like that makes sense.
Exactly.
Well, the funny thing about junkyards is you know, how do you know what to strip and what do you know is going to resell?
They know what sells.
But it takes a while to know that because you have to figure out what breaks down. You don't know after like 4 years maybe five or six if you find out.
The thing is, too, if they have the space to store the car,
right.
They'll find out over time and they'll just pick the stuff. I mean, it's always been radiators, brake drums,
Doors,
fenders, that's what Chris saying. Door, fender, deck, interior parts, you know, stuff like that.
Exactly.
I mean,
I remember working for a guy one time for a summer at Ace Auto Records, which was in, at the time, it was in like Borough Park or something like that. It was by the N train, by the CB line. And I remember he would answer the phone. And it would always be the same conversation. He would say, Ace Auto Records, this is Keith. And then there'd be a pause and go, no, we don't have that. And he'd hang up.
Right.
He did this all day.
Right.
All day. I said, how do you stay in business? How do you stay in business? Every question, the answer was, no, we don't have that.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're no longer a business. The place isn't there.
Well, you know, he has to know everything off the top of his head. And I think you know, either you learn it or it's just there in your body anyway. You know, it's like collecting baseball cards as a kid. Got them, need them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You do learn what's in there. I know guys down at Freeport Auto Wrecking, the same thing. They just kind of, you just know. They just,
right.
You know, it's amazing with all the inventory and different years and models and makes. Like, oh my, this guy's a
And they're all characters. Anyone who works in a junkyard is a character.
Just like, I plan on going down to Infinity to see our buddy Joe's afternoon. We don't talk about a character.
Well, you know.
We talk about the vinyl side character.
Yeah, they're all anything unique is anything that's collectible.
Anything niche is and you know what? We're lumped into that too because you want to talk about radio hosts.
Oh, jeez. Maybe. Well, a little bit off the beaten path too.
Chris taught me that one a long time ago. Like he gave me a speech one day. It was like you're wearing a robe too, which was weird with the big hood. It was like the eyes wide shut. It was like you're now entering into a secret society that not many men are friends or into, and you must swear to secrecy our secrets of the past.
Yeah, that we're not as good looking as you think.
That's for sure.
Right, you could take the blue pill or you could take the red pill.
There you go.
Yeah, it's all the same.
Oh, that's funny stuff.
No, it's the truth. I mean, I was just talking about junkyard. I found a junkyard that's in Rhode Island, which is literally about 2.5 hours from my house here in Connecticut. I'm hysterical. It's 2.5 hours away, one way. And I'm like, this is great.
It's close. I think of it as being close.
You know, I'll tell you something. You could be in Brooklyn, and one could be on the other side of town, and that could be 2.5 hours away, too. So what's the with the traffic?
Hey, you know, last week I was in the city, and I with the Penta for the Intercollegiate Broadcasting System thing. And so I say to my brother, I'll meet you down to McSorley's. I take a cab. The problem in New York City, I discovered the problem in New York City. There's many problems. But you can't, it used to be like 10 minutes you can get from 33rd to 7th.
Right.
Not anymore.
Yeah. No.
There is a lane that's for the bicyclists or the buses.
Yep.
So the cabs can't cut across lanes like they used to.
Right.
And then you have to line up. And there was one road, one section of 7th Avenue went down to one lane because there was a bus that got stuck. Mm. And I'm like, the cab drivers used to know how to sneak across. And then all the Uber drivers don't know how to drive.
Right.
Or the Lyft drivers or whatever. And all of a sudden, it takes 20, 25 minutes to get downtown, which it shouldn't have taken 25 minutes.
Wow.
I was very upset. But it's all these bad drivers.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was really angry.
When did you allay that when you got to McSorley's? Did you wash it all away? And
I had like, you know,
good.
10 black and white.
10 pints?
Well, you know what they do? They fill it up, but no, they're 8 ounce glasses, but then they don't fill the top. And so, by the time you get down to it's like 7.
So you only had 70 ounces.
Well, maybe, yeah.
Good. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah. And then we went to a place that had excellent hamburgers afterwards. I won't name the place because I can't remember it, but it was right around the corner.
Yeah, after 70 ounces of beer, I'm not surprised.
Yeah. So. Oh, an excellent hamburger in New York City. That's a surprise.
Yeah, hey, well, you know, it was very good. But I just can't believe with all the – I know they want to slow the traffic down even more,
yeah.
You know, 25 miles an hour. And I know they don't want people killing. But you know what? If you're on your phone and you're looking down and you're crossing the street, which I saw several times, you should be hit with a block of bricks as you're doing it because people are not looking. They think, oh, it's green. I have the right. No, it doesn't work that way in New York City. You have a shot to get across the street if you're normally looking. If you're looking down, you shouldn't even be walking.
Right.
Hey, Robbie.
Yeah.
Rob, I got one time this week, I was in the city all this week, and I was crossing the street, and I had the light, so I'm crossing the street. I almost got hit by a bicyclist who was on the phone drinking a beer.
Wow.
Nice.
It was 10 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
And nice. I'm like, welcome to New York.
Nice. Well, I actually have been hit by a bicyclist, so I know what it's like. And the guy, I don't know where he came from. He was on 52nd Street and 7th Avenue. This is many years ago, and I was crossing the street, and the traffic's going north, so I don't know how he comes across, but he did, he hit my knee.
Oh, wow.
And it destroyed his fork on it. It was one of these lightweight bicycles, and it destroyed his fork. He was screaming at me. He said I owed him a new bicycle. I said, screw you.
Fork
he said, you hit me. You hit me, SOB. Yeah. And I just walked away from him. I still didn't get lost.
Right.
He couldn't ride the bike. It was that. I don't know how my knee did that to him, but I guess I froze or something. I don't know.
Well, let me say for the people who are listening, who will catch this on a replay, that unlike – you won't find that on Rob's sites anywhere, but if you follow us on our social media sites, motormouthradio.com, as well as on Twitter and Facebook, same names, and then real_ Motormouth Radio on Instagram. You'll see where we put pictures and descriptions up of things we do, trouble we get into, and you know, throughout the week and whatever. And you know, business has been a little slow at the shop, so there's been nothing going on there worth sharing. But that would have been a perfect picture to put up, the guy's bent fork wrapped around your knee. But
it was very strange because, you know, I should have been really hurt.
Yeah, right.
You know, he was speeding.
You would have backed.
So that was very, but yeah, it was okay afterwards.
So we're going to be, we're in the end run here. We'll be, we'll be landing this plane soon, and Kim will be coming in with Thunder Road, Best of Springsteen, very shortly. We're doing this at the undisclosed, not the undisclosed location, but an undisclosed location.
Yes.
And
It's a lot of fun. There's dogs running around. There's a cat here.
You know what? It's light and airy. It's nice. It's pleasant. You know, that's kind of nice. It's cool.
I have no problem with it.
I don't know.
I'd come back next week.
Yeah, we'll do it again, right? If we have to. We'll come back. Absolutely.
Well, another great show. Chalked up another great show for the Motormouth Radio team.
Yes. Well, I think if you take the word great out, it'll be applicable.
You know, it was a show.
Yeah,
maybe we go up to Chris's, you know.
Connecticut, right? Well, then we all have to call
Chris,
in.
Chris, you have a board up there, right?
He does.
Yeah, sure. I got a mixer up here.
Yeah, we can get the mixer. We can hook it up. We'll figure it all out.
Actually, Mike Sims had called me a while ago. He wanted me to take a ride with him to Connecticut to have lunch with Chris. I'm like, all right, let's go. It was a one weekend this guy had to go away, go to Jersey.
Right.
So he wasn't home.
No, I was supposed to do a friend years ago with another friend, and I never made it, and then I'm not friends with him anymore.
Okay, well.
So, but you're my friend, Chris, so thank you. But yeah, I know that we were going to go pizza. There's a pizza place near my friend's house.
In Connecticut?
Yeah, okay. Well,
do you have to use a knife and fork in Connecticut?
I don't know.
Is that the rule, Chris?
You're going to come up here to get pizza? You're going to come up here?
No, we're going to bring it from L&B, though.
Oh, that's better.
Or actually, I'll go to New Park.
We could do it. What's that place that Malazzi likes, Chris, in Brooklyn?
The place that Malazzi likes?
He literally got on his knees and prayed to God when he was telling me about how good it was.
Really?
I forgot what it was.
Yeah, there's a couple of places that are famous in Brooklyn. There's Rollin' Roaster.
That's not it, wasn't it?
Or there's L&B Simone Gardens.
Right.
Maybe that was it. Maybe.
But yeah, like I said, New Park on Cross Bay is fantastic. That's a great pizzeria. Kevin and I go out there just for a slice once in a while.
Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, that's good stuff.
Anyway, we're almost out of time. We have about 3 minutes. Two minutes.
Okay.
So that's about it.
So, yeah, we'll come back, I guess, next week. We'll see what happens with the college, if there's a studio for us to work out of, or we'll be back at the remote, undisclosed location. We don't know.
We don't know what's going on, but we're here, and we're trying to do live, and, play along with us.
That's if the host allows us. You know,
they will. It's a lot. It was different. It was, I'm used to, eating while I'm, have my food in the background. I didn't want to eat. I didn't want to, do anything bad. I know me.
She did offer me
pineapple.
Okay, she doesn't
like I like bringing in like Pop Tarts.
My daughter came over to me the other day with a bowl of quinoa beans. Like, what is this? She heats them up in the microwave a little bit. I'm like, oh, you got to put a little salt on that. Very good though. I ate a whole bowl full of those things. They were pretty good.
Not only is this a first for me on the phone talking to you all doing the show, but I'm actually standing in my backyard picking up sticks.
Okay.
So I'm doing like primitive gardening.
and you're not breathing heavy because of this. This is good. Thank you.
I walk everywhere. I'm not breathing heavy. I'm picking up sticks.
That's good to hear. Picking up sticks.
Yeah. Pick up sticks.
That's all I'm doing right now.
Oh, God.
All right. Cleaning my yard as I'm talking to you.
Wow. Well, we're going to wrap. And Chris, thanks for coming in remotely as always. And Rob, thanks for staying and doing the honors over here on the
I always love helping out you guys.
Computer, yeah.
Thank you.
Team effort always makes a job go that much faster and easier. So. We all appreciate it. And, we'll be back next week with more Motormouth Radio. Keep it where you got it there. And, Chris, what do we always say?
Don't follow us home.
Right. On 90.3 WHPC. See?